Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. 15 years ago, a new drug was approved for use on the American market. It was called sildenafil citrate, but it's better known by its commercial name, Viagra. Alex Last reports.
It's 1998, and a little blue pill is making headlines.
In the United States, a new pill to treat impotence is being hailed as a wonder drug. Up to 40% of men suffer from impotence by the time they reach 40, and Viagra is the first drug of its kind.
Already nearly 40,000 prescriptions have been written, with stories of men besieging doctors' surgeries and pharmacies all over the states.
Men are so blatant about it, you know, do you have Viagra? You know, they want it right away.
Viagra is a treatment for erectile dysfunction, which is when a man has difficulty getting and maintaining an erection. But originally it was intended for something quite different. The compound known simply as UK92480 was developed years earlier in England by the pharmaceutical company Pfizer at its lab in the sleepy English village of Sandwich. Back then, its designers were looking for a treatment for chest pain related to heart disease. Dr. Ian Osterloh was part of the team which worked on Viagra.
The initial idea was to develop a drug to treat high blood pressure and angina by relaxing major blood vessels in the body.
But you noticed side effects?
The side effects of erections were only first reported in about the seventh clinical study done in healthy volunteers.
So it was only when the angina trials had failed to provide positive results that the company agreed to a small pilot study into the drug's possible effect on impotence. It was considered a long shot. To conduct the study, they turned to a top urological surgeon and expert in erectile dysfunction, Mr. Clive Gingell. Along with a colleague, Dr. Sam Jeppiatti, Mr. Gingell set up the first trial at a hospital in Bristol in 1994.
We recruited 12 patients that completed both phases of the study, because after they were studied in the hospital, they went out and kept a diary. They had erectile dysfunction. They were patients of mine. These were fit, healthy young men who were going to work, so we had to do the studies in the evenings and at weekends. We utilised what's called visual sexual stimulation. We gave them what would be considered slightly pornographic VDs to look at, and also top-shelf magazines, and they were put in to a room. They were given either a dummy drug, a placebo, or a dose of Viagra. They were studied for a two-hour period with what's called penile plethysmography, and this is, everyone's used to having their blood pressure taken, and these were small cuffs that were put around the penis and measured rigidity, penile rigidity. They recorded on a continuous basis any erectile enlargement. And if, for instance, you put a cuff round a broom handle, you get a reading of 100%. If you put it round a man's erect penis, you get something between 80 and 100. And so we looked at the incidence of the number of erections of quality of over 80 and the duration of these erections.
Although erectile dysfunction was common, the vast majority of men suffered in silence. It wasn't a priority for drug companies. The main available treatment required injections direct into the penis, not a very popular practice. This new drug was taken orally and worked in a new way. Dr. Ian Osterloh.
Normally, in the process of getting an erection, a man has some sexual stimulation. Nerves in the penis release a chemical signal, which we now know as nitric oxide. And this causes the blood vessels in the penis to open up, and the blood vessels fill with blood, and the penis becomes rigid. So the nerves release nitric oxide. Nitric oxide actually causes the production of another chemical called cyclic GMP, and this is the one that really opens up all the blood vessels. What Viagra does is block the breakdown of cyclic GMP. So an analogy is perhaps like filling up a bath. When there's sexual stimulation, it's a bit like turning the tap on. Water rushes into the bath. But normally, the plug is a bit leaky or isn't in at all. What Viagra does is a bit like putting the plug in the bath.
And it appeared to work. At the early pilot study in Bristol, the results were exciting.
I'd been hearing that Sam Gepiatti had been phoning up Pfizer and saying, you know, this drug is definitely working. Of course, at that stage, Sam didn't know for sure which patients were receiving which drug when, but he was already convinced enough to phone up Pfizer and say, there's something very exciting happening here. You know, I'm convinced this is doing a lot.
Across the board, with each dose of Viagra that we used, there was a response much better than the placebo.
Were these patients very excited about this drug? Were you quite excited about the possibilities?
Yeah, absolutely. We looked at the side effect profile, and some of them had headaches, some of a bit of indigestion, a bit of muscle pain, but they accepted this. This was fine. You know, this was all right. But we needed to study over the longer term, and the other factor we had to get right was the dosage. And these patients were on the phone all the time. You know, when can we get into the extension studies?
They were keen.
Oh, very keen. They were given a facility they hadn't had for years.
The studies were expanded in the UK and overseas. Men were given the drug to try when having sex with their wives and partners at home, recording the results in diaries and questionnaires. And with the trials a success, the drug, now called sildenafil citrate, needed a commercial name.
Companies are employed to come up with names that don't mean anything in all the different languages of the world you can think of. Originally, the plan was to call Viagra Alond, actually, A-L-O-N-D, but then that name was taken or we couldn't use it.
Alond.
So we ended up with Viagra, which I think proved to be a very good name.
In March 1998, the United States FDA became the first to approve Viagra for use, and sales went through the roof.
The skies opened, a bolt of lightning came down, and God said, I love you.
Once again, I can have a normal, healthy, vibrant, enjoyable sex life with my partner.
I had no side effects, and it did make me feel like I was 25 again. I've heard it referred to as the ultimate after-dinner mint. That's quite accurate.
I mean, it has been really an impossible dream to get a pill to treat impotence that is safe, effective, and so widely used.
We all take it for granted now, but certainly at the time it was very, very exciting.
Was Pfizer aware of the huge market out there?
Not to the extent that it became. Certainly one of the jobs of us on the team was to present to our senior management the fact that this is a widespread problem and it's not a trivial condition. If a man can't get and maintain an erection, it doesn't just affect his sex life, it affects his whole self-esteem and his relationship with his partner. We were getting letters from patients, heard about you're doing some research on this, I have this problem, please can I get involved? Or earlier on, many men didn't like to talk about it.
They just lived with it and did not discuss it. And for the first time, we now had a simple oral therapy that could benefit their problems. Even the ones that were having success with self-injection, they'd always say to me, haven't you got a pill for this, doctor? And we have now, and it's been a major breakthrough.
The drug Viagra became an instant bestseller around the world, making Pfizer billions of dollars. And now several other treatments are on the market. Clive Gingell, an emeritus consultant urologist, continues to treat patients in Bristol. Dr. Ian Osterloh left Pfizer and now is a director of his own company, and still works in clinical research.
That edition of Witness was written and presented by Alex Last. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.